Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion? A constant friend is he, for his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he cares for me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he cares for me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free, for his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he cares for me. People ask me, why do you sing? Well, I sing because I'm happy, amen, and praise the Lord. So our theme is reviving our relationship with Jesus this week. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You're back for more tonight. You have some resilient folks. Amen. Once again, we want to thank you for everything. And we hope we're being as big a blessing to you as you are to us. So let me open up in prayer. Pastor, you prompted this, confirmed this. I want to open up with another song, one verse of the song, and it's part of the prayer. You recognize it. It goes like this. Anointing, fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. And let the power of your Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing, fall on us. Lord, help us to preach and teach these truths on how to abide alone and together in a Christ-centered triangle relationship. Help us to begin and or continue to take these necessary steps of faith illustrated on our chart. Step one, to abide in your kingdom first. Step two, to abide in or ask you to dwell or abide in our hearts by faith. Step three, to abide in daily fellowship with you and other Christians. Step four, to abide in your word. Step five, to abide in prayer and fasting. Step six, to abide in the house of God together. Step seven, to abide in fellowship with those who diligently seek you. Step eight, to abide in faithful service. Step nine, to abide in the lives of the lost. Lord, soften our hearts so the seed of your word will not fall by the wayside heart where the enemy can come before it can bear root and snatch the word out of our hearts. Or by the stony ground heart, receive the word with joy, but when tribulation comes, doesn't take hold. Or the thorny ground heart, where we receive the word, but the cares and the riches of the world choke the word. God, I pray that you would soften our hearts so your word would fall on good ground, germinate, and bear the fruit of abiding in you. Take my life and let it be wrong song. This one's more appropriate. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends with God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends and thy conduct, his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. Let him be thy guide. And run not before him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord. And looking to Jesus, keep trusting in his word. Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus led by his spirit to fountains of love. Thou soon shall be fitted for service above. I love that song because it talks about how to abide in him. Amen. And so, amen. I can say amen and just go home now. Amen. But we're going to continue on. Listen, you know, I'm not one to apologize for messages, but I feel led to apologize to you for the lack of discipline that I showed last night in preaching the Word of God. Amen. What you saw last night was my mania came out. I get pretty hyper sometimes. And, you know, and sometimes when you walk around too much, you can walk away from your message. And, you know, and it's just, you can just, hope you understand. You know, and you can be all over the place sometimes, you know. And what I'd like for you to do tonight, if you feel led of the Lord, I pray that I would be more disciplined tonight. When I preach, that I would be less theatrical, that I would stay put more, like right here behind the pulpit. Amen. Now, I might walk around from time to time because I like to go over here and go over there, but I don't. These are boundaries. I need to have boundaries. Amen. There was a time once where, actually, when I preached, I used to do chapels for Christian schools. I used to jump over pews. Can't do it now. The kids loved it. Amen. You know, they love my nickname, my alter ego, Chocolate Thunder. Amen. And you know, I believe they like that more than they do the messages I preach. But anyhow, how many of you notice this messages that I'm preaching on abiding together in a relationship with Him is a compilation or a collection? Or a summary of all the messages I've ever preached here before. The messages on abiding, the messages on unity, amen, and the messages on charity. Now, some might say, why charity? How is that a compilation? Well, here's the thought. The only way, remember we talked about this? The only way that you can experience, embrace, and express God's love. And that's what charity is. That's the love of God. To God the Father, by loving him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbors as we love ourselves, and to love other Christians the way Jesus does, is we have to abide in him. Because the fruit of abiding in Christ is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. You know, I gave you a pamphlet because I'm jealous of this congregation. That was a message I preached. The pamphlet was a message I preached the church that I came here from Sunday morning, that pamphlet. And the whole thought was this, that more than anything else, God wants our lives to be characterized by charity. Amen? That's why he says in the Word of God, let all your things be done with charity. Everything that you do needs to be, you need to be constrained by the love of Christ. Charity is the love of God. That's why I want to encourage you. Don't just, you know, look at that as being another study. You know, take the study, and if the Holy Spirit prompts you at some point, take it apart. Maybe meditate on it. It at least remind you of some things. Amen? So anyhow, let me move on. I just had to say that. The copies I gave you tonight. Now, those are Bible pamphlets. I'd like for you to keep them in your Bible just to remind you, amen, of the message. They're in color. You know, they're nicely done. You know, they cost me a little bit of money, but you're worth it. Amen. No, you really are. You really, really are. Amen. Besides, you know, you can't outgive God. When you do these unto the least of these, my brethren, you do it unto me. Amen. So they're cardstock, so you can keep them and just to be reminded. Okay, what's next? I'm almost there. Need to stand for prayer, corporate prayer, pastoral prayer. Would you please stand? And also, I want you to do some calisthenics to keep you awake. I'm only kidding. What I was thinking about doing was doing Father Abraham. Father Abraham. So why don't you pray silently and corporately as God leads, and then your pastor will pray for me and pray. He'll break the silence when he feels it's time.
Father, I come to you tonight, and I come in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name.
Amen.
And first, Lord, we pray, as Brother Tony asked us to pray for him. We pray that he would be self-controlled, he would exercise discipline, and he would stay on point, and that he would preach the Word of God, and the words that he says this evening would not be words necessarily that he wants to say, but words that you would desire that he say.
Yes, Lord.
For the benefit of our body of believers that are here this evening. We pray for the body, we pray for the church to listen, to give attention, to take heed, Peter said, unto thy word. May the word of God touch our hearts. So Lord, I just pray for him, and I pray that you would use him, and I pray for us. In Revelation, several times you said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church.
Yes, sir.
And Lord, tonight I pray that we would hear from heaven what the Spirit is saying to the church. And then, the people that are here, there are individual needs that people have. I pray in Jesus' name that you would meet those needs. Spiritually, whatever they happen to be, give hope where hope is needed. Give encouragement to where encouragement is needed. Edify where edification is needed. And Lord, convict where conviction is needed. So I pray that we would learn a little bit more tonight how to have this intimate relationship with you, and that we would grow in grace. Commit the time into thy hand. Speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. You folks know that he's my pastor, too. You know what? I could follow you, brother. No, I can't. You know, you're small in stature. But no, seriously. But I ask your wife, I bet she'll tell you, he's a pretty big man. I believe that. I watch you. I watch you. Can I get an amen? Okay, let me get together here. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Now, I must warn you, if the Holy Spirit tells me to jump over pews, and I know that he said it, I'll do it. Amen. But if I know that he didn't, if I don't know he said it, I'm not going to try. By the way, that was my wife. That was Brown Sugar. Amen and amen. All right. Last night we preached on step one of our triangle. You must diligently seek the Lord in his kingdom first. Matthew 6, 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And we preached on step two. You must diligently seek the Lord in your heart or at the door of your heart. Amen. Tonight, we're going to look at steps three and four. Step three, you must diligently seek him in fellowship with him. You must diligently seek in him in fellowship with him daily. Can I hear someone say daily? That which from, I'm going to read this portion of scripture. We're not going to exegete it a whole lot, but we're going to look at every one of these verses and see how it applies to the message tonight. Is that all right? That which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say, can I hear you say, if we say? If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, guess what? We lie and do not the truth. You see, sometimes we can think that we're in fellowship with the Lord. But if there's known sin, how minute you might think it is, fellowship is broken. It must be restored. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. As you're abiding together, amen? And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say, can I hear you say, if we say again, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a promise. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Because the word is going to reveal sin. Amen? So as we kind of break this down a little bit, the first verse speaks of this. The Apostle John is talking about Jesus. He's talking about the living word. And that's important to know, because I've read in a commentary, someone that we know quite well, who said, listen, in this portion of scripture, he's talking about the written word. Well, he talks about, and we can cross-reference this verse over to John chapter 1. If you turn there with me, or you can just wait for me and let me reflect on it. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, talking about Jesus Christ, the living Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And then we go over to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I believe that's what he's talking about here in this portion of scripture. That was from the beginning, which we have seen, which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have heard, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. We're talking about the living word here. Now, what is the apostles talking about? John is talking about how he and the other apostles were abiding together in a Christ-centered relationship with Jesus. Now, how did they do that? He said they saw him. No, they heard him. They heard him speak. They heard him teach. I mean, they were eyewitnesses, amen? He goes on to say that they saw him. They watched him. They saw him with their own eyes, man, regardless of what anybody said. Listen, he was revealed to us. He goes on to say, we looked on him. They watched him, Pastor. They watched his every move. Amen. They followed him, man. Wherever he went, man, their eyes were with Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And that's what they were doing. He says, and then we touched him. He touched the hem of his garment. I mean, they were that close to him. And you know what happens when you touch the hem of his garment? There's a whole lot of blessings. The virtue comes out of him. They touched him, and you know, he touched them, and you know, they felt each other. And that's really what fellowship is all about. You know, the fellowship can be defined as this: the mutual sharing of the life of Christ with Christ and one another. That's Christian fellowship. We're not talking about worldly fellowship. Worldly fellowship is the mutual sharing of things that you like together. Well, Christian fellowship goes deeper than that. It's a mutual sharing of the life and the love of Christ with Christ and other Christians. Can I get an amen? And that's what we see here. Say, well, I can't see him, touch him, feeling like they did. Are you sure? You can spiritually. As you draw closer to him, boy, you know, when you draw close to him, you know, you can hear him. You can hear his voice. I come to the garden alone. And the voice I hear falling on my ear. When you're in fellowship with him, man, you can see him. You can see Christ in other people. He said, I'm there. He'll open up your eyes so you can see him. When you're in fellowship with him, you can watch his every move. You recognize him all over the place. He said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. When you're walking in fellowship with him, you can touch him. You can touch his heart. He'll touch you. He'll touch your heart. Are you with me, saints? That's not over-spiritualizing that verse. We're talking about this intimate relationship where he touches all your senses. Spiritually. Verse 2. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness unto you, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. The Father is the one who reveals Christ. It's a Father that points us to the Son. The Son points us to the Father. And the Spirit points us to both. Amen? You can't separate them. I want to back up just a moment as we talk about, you know, cross-reference this whole perspective here about fellowshipping with the Lord and the fellowship that apostles had with him. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Another familiar portion of Scripture, Acts chapter 4, verse 13. When you get there, please say amen. Brother, even though I got these tabs, I'm still looking for the... Let me start all over again. You do that too, don't you? See, that, I'm not saving any time. I want you to know that. Pastor, you got to help me. Could you read that portion of Scripture when you get there? 4:13, that's it. Could you hold up for just a second? Let me repeat this because I want to get this on the recorder. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned men, And ignorant men like me didn't know a whole lot. They marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You see, they had fellowship with him, man. They heard him. They saw him. They watched him. You know, they touched him. You see what I'm saying? And they spent time with him, you know, and as a result, they were changed into his likeness. And that'll work for us. It does work for us. Amen. 1 John. Let's go back. All right, I'm close enough. 1 John chapter, look at verse 2. We saw verse 2, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So what we see here is the apostle saying, not only did the Father reveal him to us, but now we want to reveal him to you. Why? So that you can have fellowship with us. Because truly, we are having, we're not trying to deceive you. We're having fellowship with him, and so can you. Verse 4 said, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Man, when you're in fellowship with the Lord, you're going to experience his love. And when you experience God's love, the byproduct of that is you're going to experience his joy. Boy, when you know how much God really loves you, man, that's going to give you a joy that is the fullness of joy that nothing else can fill you like that joy. And that's the joy that they're talking about here as a result of fellowshipping with him. Are you with me, saints? Then he goes on to say this, these things, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is light. God is pure. God is holy. God is sinless. He is the epitome of perfection. There is no sin on him, no sin in him. He knew no sin and no sin nature. He hates sin. Sin pictures darkness, and sin is deadly. The wages of sin is death. Sin will destroy you spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, in your social life, and also your relationship with the Lord. That's why the Lord hates it. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Not at all. The only time he has ever had sin, he never had an in it, but he had it on him when he went to the cross. He took our sin. But he dealt with it. He took it away. Praise the Lord for that. Verse 6 kind of speaks for itself. So if we say that we have fellowship with him, that we're abiding in him and walking, and instead we're walking in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we're saying that we're having fellowship with the Lord and, you know, I'm right with God and, you know, I'm having fellowship with others. Listen, how many know that you cannot have fellowship with the brethren, right fellowship, if you're not in fellowship with the Lord? How much of that is going on in the body, in the homes? Come on, somebody. I'm speaking the truth in love. But if we walk in the light, what does it mean to walk in the light? Well, light pictures righteousness and cleansing and holiness. It pictures God, who God is. So when we walk in the light of his presence, darkness pictures sin. And so what's being said here, that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Verse 6, if we say that we have darkness, or have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness or walk in sin. Are you with me? We lie and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. There's your one anothering the Bible speaks of. There's your abiding in him together. Husband and wife, parent and child, you know, brothers and sisters, friends, church family. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us of all sin. Watch this. As we walk in the light, his blood cleanses us. But we have to confess. We have to admit that we're in sin. You say, well, I didn't know that. Yes, you do. Because the Holy Spirit will show you when you sin. Even the smallest deal. Even children. And God doesn't let us get away with not one sin. Oh, very convicting. Because he loves us. And he doesn't want sin to destroy us. Someone said that sin perpetuates itself. In other words, if you don't deal with it, it just keeps growing and growing and growing until it destroys you. Let's finish up with this thought here. If we say that we have no sin, you know, I didn't sin. I'm not out of fellowship with God. Listen, you know what? Just go to the altar every day and say, Lord, forgive me. I try to go and I tell you, Lord, forgive me. And here's some alliteration, brother. Lord, forgive me for my unwillingness to surrender my pride. Forgive me for my unbelief. Forgive me for my uncleanness. Forgive me for my unthankfulness. Forgive me for my unfaithfulness. Forgive me for my unfruitfulness. I mean that. Because I don't want to deceive myself. God honors that. And he'll do that. He promised. Because I have to go back again because, listen, you know what? I'm going to get dirty again. Let me say this before I move on with this thought. You can't have fellowship with Jesus in your, you've got to wash your feet. Here's an old saying that sin will keep you from fellowship with God, or fellowship with God will keep you from sin. Look at 1 John 3:6. While we're there, we'll give you this for free. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. What do you think that means? I think it means this. If the closer you abide to Christ, the less you're going to sin. The closer you abide to Christ, the less you're going to sin. Stay close. Because he's going to wash your feet as you walk with him. I just got that. It's good stuff. Step four. You must diligently seek him in his word. In his word. You need to abide in the word. Look with me to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Here I go again. I got to get used to using this. You know what? I should take this home with me and practice it. This is Pastor Bill's Bible, by the way. He's got a million of them. That's what he told me. So he's not going to miss this one. Brother, if you give it to me, I won't have to steal it and be in trouble. I wouldn't do that. I'm only kidding, folks. So you see that old mania creeping out every now and then? Okay, we'll get serious. I just figured it out. That mania side of me, that's Chocolate Thunder. People like Chocolate Thunder. Chocolate Thunder can get carried away sometimes. But anyhow, look at Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. We'll read and reflect. My son, if thou receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart unto understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Let's stop there. Make our point. And by the way, before I forget, this is the greatest method of studying the Word of God. Because this is the method that God gives us. Many books are written or extracted from this portion of Scripture. even on meditating scripture. Let's walk through this as proof text. Oh, by the way, as you look on your chart, where it talks about abiding in His Word, and you see the acronym, you know, the MMM, all these people asking me, even Tom asked me, said, what does that mean? You know, if when I do that again, I'm going to use that acronym with alliteration. All right? I'm going to let you work on that, brother, okay? But anyhow, let me tell you what that means. Verse 1a, my son, if thou receive my word, that's reading the word. You know, receiving the word and don't cast it behind you, but receive that word as if it's the word of God. Read it. Amen? As if you're reading the word of God, because you are. 1b, and hide my commandments with thee. That's memorizing it. In other words, that's hiding it, hiding the word in your heart, man. I mean, not just in your head, but in your heart. Memorizing that word. How many of you think that that's for children? That you're too old to memorize God's word? I'll tell you what, if you don't, what's going to happen is that if that word's not hidden in your heart, when you need to hear from God, when you want to hear His voice, if it's not in there, you're not going to hear anything. Direction, correction, whatever. Because he'll spring that word up from within you. My sheep hear my voice. Got to meditate on that word. Memorize it. Look at verses 2 and 3. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. I see that as meditating on the word. You know, inclining your ear to it, man. Inclining your ear to it. Incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. And that's what happens when you meditate on the word of God. You muse over the word. You chew on it, you know. You try to break it down. And you try to figure it out. You don't just memorize it. You say, you know, what does that mean? You know, and you chew on that thing all day. You know, and then you pray, and he said, Lord, show it to me. Lord, give me some understanding of what's being said here. If thou criest after knowledge. And then you get diligently, you diligently seek him in prayer, and then you cry after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding. Pastor, how many times have you been in your office? Lord, I just don't get it. Lord, show it to me. Then you have to say, oh God, please, I need a word. I need a word. It works, doesn't it? He might not show you right then, but I tell you what, as you do that throughout the course of the day, he'll reveal it to you in a situation, in a circumstance. He may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. And not just for preachers, he'll do that for anybody. How much more someone who is abiding in him? Especially kids, man, they got favor. They got favor with God. My granddaughter, boy, I wish I could have brought her here, a 14-year-old. There's times I think she's had a closer walk with the Lord than I do. I could brag on her all day, but let me move on. Grandkids. I got 19 of them. We have. I'm sorry. I'm leaving you out, baby. You had a little bit to do with that. Most of them look just like her. Aren't you glad? Wait a minute. And muse on it. Then look at verses 3 and 4. We see, study it. We see, study it. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding. And prayer needs to be included in studying the word. Giving yourself to the word of God in prayer. Amen. If thou seekest her silver, search for his hid treasure. What does that imply? Let me give you, a brief understanding of that. And certainly you have more than I do. You know, once again, we need to pray diligently. And then we need to seek his word as if we're seeking something that we treasure, a pearl of great price. That's the attitude that we need to have for this book. Oh, it's so precious. It's sweet as honey. Oh, my goodness. All the treasures that are found, the nuggets that are found in this word. Listen, here's another old saying. What you do with the Bible, God will do with you. You treasure the word of God, and God will treasure you. Why is that? I'm glad you asked. Because God has magnified his word over and above his name. His name speaks of who he is. You can't separate God, the word of God, from the name of God. Can I get an amen? Well, that's some powerful prayer. I didn't walk from here over to there yet. And I'm just about done for tonight. Are you still with me? Where does that last acronym come in? Read, memorize, meditate, study. Oh, and we could cross-reference that verse to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. We won't go there, but study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needing not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing. And so when you dig into that word, that's rightly dividing the word of God. Can I get an amen? Here's where the application comes in. Oh, and by the way, if you ever went to the RU program, the Reformers Unanimous, and there's some good stuff that comes out of there. I really like that ministry. But they'll teach you that, you know, the blessing of God really comes in the meditating and the applying of the word of God. Isn't that right, brother? You know, let me give you a proof text. Joshua 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and observe to do according to all that is written therein. For therein thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and therein thou shalt have good success. God will cause you to prosper in every area of your life according to his will. He wants us to prosper according to his will, not according to ours. Okay? He wants us to prosper spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, socially, and our relationship with him according to his will. Some would say, well, he wants us to prosper financially. Do you mean he wants me to have $1 million? I didn't say that. But maybe. And he does that for some. And God bless them when they realize where it comes from and how to use it for his kingdom. Thank you, brother. Say, well, what about health? My wife had cancer. Well, it was his will that you had cancer. Not cancer, but. Well, he allowed it, and he'll use it for his glory. Does it prosper with that? According to his will. Paul prayed that God would take the infirmity away from him. I've been diagnosed with something. I don't mind sharing with you. Well, I might get too transparent. But, you know, I had to adopt an attitude, this attitude. I said, Lord, you got to take this thing away from me, just like Paul did. And God answered Paul, and he said, no. He said, why? Paul says, why? Because my grace is sufficient for thee, because my strength is made perfect in your weakness, Paul. And when Paul realized that it was God's will, you know what he said? Sure, you know what he said. You know, I would rather have grace than healing. Paul said, I would rather glory. I would rather praise God for this infirmity in the midst of it. Because when I am weak, the power of God rests upon me. And I have to have that attitude in what I'm going through. And so do you, sir. And we all have something that we're crying out to God. I said, listen, deliver me. And God says, no. He works at all things together for good. For those who love God and are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. And I mentioned this last night. Let me rehearse this for those who weren't here. God allows things in the lives of the people in the sphere of our influence, whether it's people in our home, our church, wherever we are, so he can work things together good for good in our own lives through that, their circumstance. As we be like Christ to that particular person. I hope that made sense, because I don't have time to explain it any further. I'm sure someone else can do a better job. So we're winding down. Oh, the application. Where's the application come in? Look at verse 5. Then shall thou understand the fear of the Lord. You know, I tell you, when you do all these things, you know, what does it mean to fear the Lord? You won't know how to fear the Lord. You won't know what it means to fear the Lord. You know, we define that as being the reverential trust and respect for God. And it is. But that's the head knowledge of that. What we need to know is to experience it. What does it mean to fear the Lord? What does it mean to be a God-fearing person? Doesn't mean to be afraid of him. But it means, you know, to respect who he is. You need to, you know, you need to be concerned about his judgment. But his judgment is righteous, you know, by the way. He gives mercy and judgment. Brother, what I talked to you about today, I meant to say, you know what? Pray for mercy in judgment. Because the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. He can turn it with us whoever he would. How many times have I prayed that? And God's turned situations around where I got prosecuted for something I did wrong. Not talk about people feel bad about being prosecuted for something they did wrong. The Bible says, listen, don't feel bad about that. You're getting what you deserve. But when you've been persecuted and you take it patiently, you know, God gives you mercy. Bless God, if you need to be willing to fall into the hands of God as opposed to man. Okay, that was a bunny trail. Hope Shot got something out of that. I did. Was finishing the thought. Then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord. When? When you read his word, when you memorize his word, when you meditate on his word, when you study his word, then shall thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now here's where we lead into this whole concept of application. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. What is wisdom? Wisdom is knowledge applied. When you apply God's word to your life, he gives you wisdom. There's your application. Are you with me? Let's close with this thought. We'll be done. So, Pastor, you can get ready to close out. You need to abide in his word. Cross-reference to that. John chapter 8, verses 31. When you get there, once again, say amen. And this time I'm going to use my tab. I'm sorry, Brother Bill's tab. Brother, I'll give you $19.95 for this Bible. What's so funny? You probably got it free. Okay, saints. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue, to continue is synonymous with abiding. Abiding means to continue to remain. If you abide in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, a followers of Christ indeed, for real. You're not a phony baloney. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we're talking about abiding in his word, to have fellowship with him, diligently seeking him. In conclusion, are you diligently seeking the Lord personally? You need to ask yourself that question. Let me ask you another question. If you are you encouraging others to do so? Are you grabbing someone by the hand on your side of the triangle and well, you're on this side of the triangle, and they're on the other side of the triangle, and you're saying, listen, follow me as I follow Christ. And listen, let's diligently seek the Lord together by seeking his kingdom first together. Let's diligently seek the Lord together at the door of our hearts. Let's diligently seek the Lord together in fellowship with him daily. Let's diligently seek the Lord together, abiding in his word together. That's discipleship, man. That's Christianity. It's just a different way of looking at it. If you're not, will you? Will you ask God to forgive you? And let me mention this right now. Oops. I'll mention it tomorrow. I won't forget. Lord, remind me. You can. Let me encourage you. You can. You can do anything that we just talked about, been talking about, by God's grace. You can't do it alone. You can do nothing without him, but you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. Amen. There's your encouragement. And by way of invitation, Pastor, you can come. I just briefly say this. If you're not saved, you're not a child of God, you're a child of the devil. And Jesus is not seated on the throne of your heart, but Satan is. And he's the one that keeps you from coming to Christ. Let me give you a brief, quick testimony. For years, man, I didn't run to God. I ran from him. I was looking for love in all the wrong places, man. And I was running from the Lord. But the Lord started pursuing me. He was persistently pursuing me until he got my attention one day. And I turned. I repented. And if you're saved, that's your testimony too. You turned. And if you want to receive Christ as your Savior, you want to be a child of the King, you want to abide in him, have fellowship with him, you want to be a child of God, you want to go to heaven, man, you got to surrender. You got to surrender. Let me say this. Saints, stop running from God. Christians run from him too when they refuse to abide. Unsaved, stop running.
Eye closed. Now we've been talking about abiding in Christ. First of all, are you seeking the kingdom of God first? That's your number one priority. Secondly, are you abiding in your heart? Are you walking in fellowship with the Savior? And you do an awful lot of that because you're in his word. Reading it, memorizing it, meditating on it, studying it, and applying it, living it out. Amen. So you gotta examine your heart tonight and find out where you are in those areas. If you want a close, intimate relationship, fellowship with the Lord, you got to abide in him. It really, you don't have any choice. And that's where it's at. So it's Faith Place. Go ahead, Faith. If you want to come tonight and use the front of the church as a place of prayer, you can. If you want to pray in your pew, that's fine. But you can come and you can do business with God. Are you abiding? Are you abiding in him? Do you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Do you meditate on him in your heart? And does he sit on the throne? He said last night, on the throne of your heart. Do you enjoy fellowship with the Lord throughout the day? And you'll be able to know this. Do you spend any time at all in his word? All right, ushers, if you'll come, we'll receive a quick offering this evening for Brother Tony Saxon. He's been preaching for us this week.